Good morning, and welcome to this offering of worship. It's good to see some visitors among us. We're always glad you're here, and I hope that if you do not have a church home and you live around here, that you might want to talk to us about joining to the life and fellowship of Westminster Presbyterian Church. From the day I arrived here, in the pews, there have been the ritual of friendship for pads. I've always wondered why you would call it ritual of friendship pads. But I guess that when you pass it to the person next to you, be friendly. Learn the names that are on there. I even suggest that once you pass it to one end, that you pass it back in case there's somebody on the pew whose name you do not know, and you can learn their names that way. Please read the announcements that are in the bulletin. One correction, very important. One of the big events of the year is our pizza and bowling party. I don't see the calendar, but somewhere on the calendar, it is. Next Sunday, pizza and bowling, it says 4 o'clock. If you come at 4 o'clock, you get to sit around and watch other people bowl for 30 minutes because we don't have the lanes reserved until 4:30. And so be there at 4:30, and then we'll bowl like we do for a game or two, and then we'll head over to Cece's Pizza for pizza. And bowling is fun and important. But what is just as fun is to sit there and watch us bowl, even if you don't bowl. As I say, I bowl my golf score, and I golf what I should be bowling. But if you do not plan on bowling, it is well worth coming just to have fellowship with the church. There is a large portion in the bulletin referring to next Sunday. First of all, next Sunday is our annual congregational meeting, which I hope will be short. It's up to you if it's going to be short, but we've asked the session to give you written reports instead of standing up here and each person taking 5 minutes to report about their committee. So here are the reports and an election of members to the various committees of the church, and hopefully we'll adjourn and go across the way to a sandwich lunch where we'll sit around tables and talk about some questions that have been given to the Associate Pastor Nominating Committee. They have a form they have to fill out, and there's questions asked on the form, and it's not their job to determine what goes on that form. Whoever we call, if we call, will be your associate pastor, not the session's associate pastor. And so we need input from the congregation as to, you know, what kind of qualities are we looking for? What are we going to be asking them to do? And to get you thinking about that, there's a series of questions in the bulletin for you to consider before you come to the meeting next Sunday. But it'll be immediately following our congregational meeting, and there will be a sandwich lunch served. Lisa Thompson, she's not able to be here today, but I'm supposed to announce that February the 2nd is the Valentine Project Day. Each year, long-standing tradition of the church is that Westminster takes a Valentine box of those who are sick and shut in, military personnel, college students who are away, our wolves, our choir students. Best of all, the church staff, we get a box. Just a reminder of the sweet holiday that our nation celebrates. Usually, the Presbyterian Women's puts together about 60 boxes, and they put together special boxes for those who may be diabetic. So if you can support the project, it'll be appreciated. You can bring candy and goodies and bars to the kitchen to be put in the boxes, or you can write a check and let somebody else purchase what's needed for the boxes. But see Lisa Thompson or Lois Hale if you have any questions about that. Okay. Anybody notice the date on the door for the pictorial directory? March what? My hearing's gone. March. Thank you. March 23rd, 24th, and 25th. A pictorial directory of a church is not complete unless you have your picture placed in it. It costs you nothing to have your picture placed in it, and I think you even get a free picture. And if you do get a high-pressure sales pitch, you come talk to the preacher, and he goes talk to the person who's taking the picture and say, hey, tone it down a bit. So be sure to sign up when the sign-up sheets are out for your picture in the pictorial directory. I don't want to get in trouble, but back in the back corner of the church, Apollonia, will you please stand for just a moment? And you have J-Tron with you there? He doesn't have to stand unless he wants to. Okay. This is Apollonia Ellis. Apollonia met with our session last Sunday, and she has made the decision. Our session has received her to the membership of this church. She's got Jatron there with her, who I believe is 12 years old. Okay. Yeah, okay, yay. And Adonis, who I assume is in the nursery, who is 3 years old. Or he's around here somewhere. Or he's okay. Are there other announcements that need to be made? Nancy?
I just received word that Gloria Settle's aunt passed away.
Okay. Terry, you're standing.
Loving the Name of Christ Food is a work in progress. It's over there in that fellowship hall. So we have some things this week. I would just love for you to look at it, kind of see what the meal is for you, because we would love your input. And if you have something to comment, if you could share it with me. Everything goes.
Any others? Let us take a moment to prepare our hearts for the worship of Almighty God.
Join me in the call to worship. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Your work is full of honor and majesty, and your righteousness endures forever. The works of your hands are faithful and just. All of your precepts are trustworthy. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice it have good understanding. Let us worship God. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and King, you are greatly to be praised, and your greatness is beyond our ability to comprehend. Draw our hearts to you, guide our minds, fill our imaginations, and control our wills, that we may be wholly yours, completely dedicated to you. We pray that we will be used by you, and that what we do during this hour of worship and what we do outside of these walls will always be for your glory and for the welfare of your people. Hear our prayers, receive our worship, and speak to us during these moments, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. King David wrote in Psalm 51, "The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." Today, before we ask God to speak to our hearts through his word, let us join our voices in a prayer of confession. And with a spirit of penitence, let us pray together the prayer found in the bulletin. Almighty God, you love us, but we have not loved you. You call, but we have not listened. We walk away from neighbors in need, wrapped up in our own concerns. We have gone along with evil, with prejudice, warfare, and greed. God our Father, help us to face up to ourselves so that as you move toward us in mercy, we may repent, turn to you, and receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. The assurance of pardon. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. Friends, this is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
Thank you. Please be seated. And may we honor God as we give to him his tithe and our offerings. Lord God, hear the gifts we present to you. May they express our love for Jesus Christ, and may they be used for your glory, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
All right, please join me in the prayer for illumination. Eternal God,
suffering and death of Jesus Christ, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may receive grace to show Christ's love in lives given to your service.
The Psalter reading today is from Psalm 71. I will read the text and the congregation will sing the response. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, And to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, my God. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. All right, this morning's scripture reading is from Luke 13, verses 1 through 9. Now there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man explained, "leave it alone for one more year, and I will dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down."
Thank you.
Uh-oh. It's not that it's you, it's just me and you.
Yeah, I get that.
But we'll be all right, because it is you. What I want to tell them is what we studied in Sunday school this morning. Like, different types of light. I had a flashlight in Sunday school.
Yes.
And the sun provides light. Mm-hmm. And the lamps in the church provide light.
Candles.
Candles provide light.
Phones. Because the flashlight.
I never thought of that. But on my phone I've got now, it does have a flashlight on it. I even have a cap now. I can put a little light on it so I can look. Because you remember I talk about my dog, it's black and I can't see it. Yeah, a little headlight. So,
and on the cars. Uh-huh.
And Jesus said, we are the light of the world. Remember? And Josie, you have a beautiful smile. Yeah. And they have beautiful smiles, but not one of them is illuminated. I mean, you turn off all the lights in here and it's dark. You won't be able to see them, will you? They don't look like light to me. Well, what did Jesus mean when he said you're the light?
He meant
show his love
and how good you can be and positive. And
we will be the light of the world if we show others the love of Jesus, and that we act in all situations as Jesus would have us act. This is one girl who listens to her Sunday school lesson. Proud of her. Okay. We are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do man light a lamp and put it under a bushel. That would be silly, wouldn't it?
Yes.
If you put it under a bushel, you won't be able to see it. And if it's a real candle, it might burn the bushel up. Don't put it under a bushel, but you put it on a stand so that it gives light to all in the house. Let your light shine in such a way that everybody can see your good works and give glory and praise to God. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for Jesus and that he has made us salt. He has made us light. Though our bodies are not illuminated, we do by the very way we act and the way we love. We show people the love of Jesus. Help us to shine brightly for you this day, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Debbie Dalton called this morning and she was feeling a little under the weather, so Jacob volunteered to do the choir for us and to read the scripture text for today, or one of them, the one from Luke. The one from Luke is kind of where you get the title of the sermon from. You have some Galileans that are killed by Herod. You have a tower that falls on some folks. Is it because of what they've done? No, it's just what happens. And if you were one of those, it's almost as though life is not fair. This is the way Peter might put it. I've been preaching from Peter for a couple of weeks now, and today's text is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. Hear the text. It's a little longer than typical, but listen carefully. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who were sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's servants. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray. But now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls. Thus ends the reading. There was a serious head-on collision that happened in a residential street in Germany. And what made this collision unique is that it was literally a head-on collision resulting in serious injury. It happened during a dense fog. The fog was so dense that an eastbound driver, refusing to pull over until conditions improved, moving at a snail's pace, stuck his head out the window in order to improve his vision. He strained to focus on the lane that he was driving. There was a westbound driver moving at a snail's pace, and you guessed it. He too had his head out the window, a literal head-on collision as they passed. Smacked their foreheads together. Both drivers were hospitalized, but their cars survived without a scratch. Bizarre things happen in this world, and sometimes, no, it seems like most of the times, they're simply not fair. Many years ago, actress Helen Hayes was walking down the street in Paris with Mary Martin, who was wearing the latest designer outfit. A bird was flying overhead, and the inevitable happened. An unpleasant problem we have had from time to time with birds in Mary Martin's designer outfit, if it was not ruined, it at least had to be taken to the cleaners. Helen expected Mary to scream, but instead Mary Martin simply replied, "For some people, they sing." I guess that for some people, birds sing, and for others, they make a mess. It's simply not fair. Sometimes it is humorous, other times it's tragic. You can hear people say, "I exercised every day, and I still had a heart attack. I ate 2 cups of Nacogdoches blueberries every day, got all the antioxidants, and I still was diagnosed with cancer. I gave my heart and soul to a company and I was laid off. I was just walking home after work and the police picked me up and charged me with aggravated theft and sexual assault.
life is not fair. Of course, the advertising industry and the media in general would have us believe that we can micromanage our lives, but the little bird does come along. People bump heads in the fog, and we are frustrated by our faith in God, who does not seem interested in protecting us, and we become disappointed with God. Maybe one reason for our disappointment is that we want to interpret God in our own way. I received a phone call from a dear friend who told me they were troubled by the prayer the pastor prayed in the church they attended, the church they were visiting that Sunday. In the prayer, the preacher thanked God for his promise to keep us safe. Of course, the problem was that God makes no such promise. Even Jesus said, "If they've done it to me, they will do it to you." In our text from Peter, he wrote about those who are receiving beatings for doing what was right. Philip Yancey, in his book, Disappointed with God, wrote about the issue, the fact that life is unfair and we blame God. When Steve Johnson was a wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills, we blamed God for letting him drop a pass that would have won the game. Following the drop, he tweeted, "I praise you 24/7, and this is what you do to me? You expect me to learn from this? How? I will never forget this, ever." It was a drop pass in a football game. And my guess is that it was not God's fault. Or maybe there was a better Christian on the other team who fell down and couldn't cover him. But maybe God had something to do with giving him the skills that he can make millions of dollars catching passes in the NFL. In the mid-16th century, a group of 50 Spanish nuns led by Sister Teresa of Avila traveled on foot to a neighboring convent in a rugged storm, crossing a rickety bridge over a swollen stream. The sisters prayed that the bridge would hold up until they were all safely across. All 50 of them crossed the bridge at the same time. The bridge didn't hold up. It collapsed in the center, spilling all the nuns into the water. They managed to swim safely to the shore, and Sister Teresa raised her eyes toward heaven and said, "Lord, if this is the way you treat your friends, is it little wonder you have so many foes?" Wednesday evening, we heard the testimony of Virtus Daniels. Back in 1976, an excellent student. Offers were coming in from colleges. His future looked promising. Then, because of the color of his skin, he was picked up one night walking home from the Fredonia Hotel and arrested for aggravated theft and sexual assault. It didn't matter that the description of the perpetrator was a man who was 6 inches taller and was wearing different clothes. His whole future changed. We've all been there, not with a drop of a pass or perhaps the collapse of a bridge or falsely accused. But there has been a time in our lives when we've cried out to God, "That's not fair." Philip Yancey studied this problem at great length and determined that some people cave in when they feel God has let them down, while others use their time of adversity as a stepping stone to a richer and fuller discipleship. In the book, Yancey introduces us to a man named Douglas. He was a good man, trained as a psychotherapist. But he gave up his lucrative practice working primarily among the rich and the well-connected and started to work in the inner city among the poor. You would think that because of this decision, God would bless him. But shortly after this noble change in focus, a change where he, at great personal cost, placed himself in a position to care for the poor, his life started falling apart. The first thing that happened was that his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. The chemotherapy treatments affected the whole family. She was always tired and felt sick. Douglas had to pick up a lot of the work around the house. The cancer spread to her lungs. While his wife was undergoing chemotherapy treatments, Douglas' family was involved in a serious traffic accident. A drunk driver crossed the median and smashed into their car head on. His 12-year-old daughter and his wife suffering from the chemotherapy were seriously injured, but the worst injuries were to Douglas himself. He hit his head on the dashboard, and due to his head injury, he has trouble with his vision, and he can no longer read, and he used to love to read. For a time, he could not even walk down the steps without stumbling. Philip Yancey knew Douglas and wanted to interview him for his book, because if anybody reminded him of the biblical picture of Job, it was Douglas. When Yancey met with Douglas, he said, "Douglas, I'm writing a book about disappointment with God.
I thought of all the people I know who have the right to be disappointed with God. You are right at the top of the list. Tell me, what would you say to people who are disappointed with God? Understand that Douglas thought for a minute. He stroked his beard and finally looked at Yancey and said, "You know, Philip, I don't think I've ever been disappointed with God." And there is Philip Yancey wanting to write a book about being disappointed with God. "Douglas, how can you say that?" He said, "I learned a long time ago, and especially through this incident, not to confuse God with life. Yes, life is unfair, you bet. My life has been unfair. What happened to my wife, what has happened to my daughter, what has happened to me, it is all unfair. But I think God feels exactly the same way. I think he is grieved and hurt by the drunk driver, by what he did, as much as I am. Don't confuse God with the unfairness of life." He said, "As I read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, I notice the characters in the Old Testament are able to separate the physical reality of their lives, usually under a foreign occupation, from the spiritual reality of their relationship with God." Douglas continued by saying, "If you are ever tempted to confuse God with life's unfairness, go back and read the story of Jesus, the story of God on earth. Ask yourself how Jesus would answer the question, is life unfair? For me, the cross of Christ demonstrates for all time the idea that life is supposed to be fair. All I can say is I hope that when I'm treated unfairly by life, I pray that I can have both the wisdom and the faith in God as Douglas has. Just because we are seeking the right thing doesn't mean that life will treat you fairly. Indeed, you could be treated unfairly simply and solely because you are trying to do the right thing. I read earlier from 1 Peter, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and enduring it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable to God." The implication is that you can suffer because you are doing wrong, and you can suffer because you are doing right. Life happens, and we must separate the unfairness of life from the fairness of God. Life can treat us unfairly. God only seeks that which is good for us. It wasn't God trying to teach Steve Johnson a lesson when he dropped that pass. Johnson simply was not concentrated as he should have, and he dropped the pass. It may have been bad luck or bad hands, but it wasn't God's fault that he dropped the pass at that football game. However, God can help Steve put the mishap into perspective and help him be a more mature Christian, maybe even a mature believer like Douglas. And I, for one, believe deep in my soul that Douglas was right about the fact that the best example that life is not fair is the crucifixion of Jesus. Peter continues, "To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sin in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed." Which brings us to the good news. For we live on this side of Easter. Resurrection faith is about living faithfully in an unfair world where we profess that Christ has conquered death. Part of what that means is that when life treats us unfairly, we will find comfort by putting our focus on God's activity in the world. Remember particularly these words of Scripture. "And we know that in all things God works together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose." You know that's found in Romans 8, chapter 28, but it's one of the most abused passages in Scripture. God doesn't cause bad things to happen to us, but God can take the injustice of life and use it for our good. It does not make an injustice good, and I would say that in some cases the unfairness might outweigh the good, but God can use it for good. That was what was so inspiring about Virtus Daniels, who was our speaker Wednesday night. He suffered a horrible injustice that affected his entire future. Yet today, without bitterness, he gives thanks that God was with him through it all, as well as many good people were with him through it all. When complimented on her homemade biscuits, one cook responded, "Just consider what goes into making the biscuits. The flour itself, if you ever eaten flour by itself? Yuck, is no good. Neither does the baking powder. That's worse than the flour. The shortening by itself is horrible, nor any of the other ingredients. However, when I mix them all together and put them in the oven, they come out just right." Trust that God can put the bitter, sour, and tasteless ingredients of life and use them for good. Jim Warren, who is a longtime host of Primetime America on the Moody Broadcasting Network, has this tidbit of wisdom. When hard times come, be a student of life, not its victim. I personally find it easy to be a victim. I ask, why did this happen to me? A student of life says, I don't care so much why it happened. I want to learn what God is teaching me. A victim looks at everyone and cries out, life is not fair. A student of life looks at life and says, what happened to me could happen to anyone. A victim feels sorry for himself that he has no time for others. A student of life focuses on helping others so that he has no time to feel sorry for himself. A victim begs God to remove the problems of life so that he might be happy. A student of life has learned that the problems of life that God alone is the source of all true happiness. That's wise advice. Be a student of life, not its victim. Mother Teresa of Calcutta once wrote about a situation she would never forget. She was in Venezuela, and she visited a family who had donated a lamb to her order of nuns. When she went to thank the family, she found that the family had a badly handicapped child. She asked the mother, "What is the child's name?" The mother gave the most beautiful name. "We call him Teacher of Love because he keeps teaching us how to love." That was a family that learned to be a student of life, not its victim. Life is unfair, but don't confuse the unfairness of life with God. Trust in God's promises. Look for ways you can turn a mess into a ministry. The most unfair act, though, in all of history was the crucifixion when an innocent Son of God was slain. But we live on this side of the resurrection. We can see God's power over life's unfairness. And God, through Jesus Christ, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, can help us deal with the unfair events that just seem to happen. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Almighty Father, we could not exist in a world filled with all forms of injustice except that your love is unfailing. If we could measure the vastness of love, we would have to say that it is as wide as heaven itself. In your love, there is righteousness and justice, two pillars of truth that give integrity to true love. We pray that filled with the love of Jesus Christ, we will be empowered to live by the rule of Jesus, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Lord, we pray that in your righteousness we have been made right through the work of Jesus Christ. We praise you. We are justified not only by the redemption we find through your suffering. And now, Lord, help us to know the joy of offering our lives to you as living sacrifices, ready to give ourselves to others for the sake of Jesus, who gives us salvation. O God, who cares for all creation, work within our lives, giving us a passion to stand for justice and righteousness in our own lives. In a world where so many children are reared in poverty and others in riches, help us to show your love. In a world where some experience abiding health and others are sorely afflicted, show us your love. In a world where some live in peace and others in lands ravaged by war, help us to show your love. And in a world where some are guided by your word and others are living in darkness, help us to be lights that show your love. Be with those in our church who suffer. We think of members of this family who are shut in and infirmed. We think of those who are feeling other types of pain. And in silence, we lift up those about whom we have special concerns.
We pray for the men and women in our military, especially those who are in harm's way. We pray for our President, Mr. Donald Trump, Congress, and judges. Give them wisdom and hearts that are driven by a passion for seeking justice and easing the suffering in our land and in our world. We pray for those with whom we disagree. And we pray as our Savior taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will you please stand and let us profess what we believe using the ancient creed of the church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now may the grace, mercy, and peace of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, be with each one of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.